Our next presenter is Roland Leatherwood.
Well, good afternoon. It's good to be here. My name is Roland Leatherwood. I work for a company called Everus. You probably haven't heard that name, but the products are Osmocote and Peters. You might have heard of those. And I'm a senior scientist with those folks. I run the field biology program for North America and Latin America in fertilizers and plant protection for both ornamental crops and agriculture crops, anything you don't harvest with a combine. So my background, I started my career at UNC Asheville, and I got degrees there in German and financial management and financial economics. And with that, I went to work for the state of North Carolina for the Public Mental Health Authority. I liked that job. It was very meaningful, supportive work in the community, but the actual knowing the numbers, boring, I didn't like it at all. I could not see even as far as I could go with the state in finance as that being a very exciting career for me. So I had to make a change. What I did notice, what others noticed around me, was I spent all my spare time, money, energy on horticulture, buying textbooks. I was reading plant phys textbooks for fun, buying ASHS journals and reading those. And so the writing was on the wall. If I didn't go back to school and try and make that work for me, then it would be a real waste. So I took the plunge, spent about a year getting ready, taking GREs and all that sort of thing. Keep in mind, I didn't even have biology in my background at this point. So what I had to do was swallow my pride a little bit and go back as a degree-seeking undergrad when I was 30 years old and take student loans and just make it work for a year, reapplied. And then, yes, I was admitted to NC State with support and did my MS with John Williamson and Mason Farr. They were in carbohydrate physiology of plants. And I looked specifically at salt stress in germinating seeds. Following on to that, I continued in stress physiology. I worked with someone by the name of John Dole and looked at post-harvest stress of unrooted cuttings. So worked a little bit with ethylene inhibitors and that sort of thing. Also quite a bit about nutrition status of the stock plants and how does that affect how well the cuttings ship. It was a nice travel in there. I went to Latin America a couple times where those cuttings are produced. So it was a very, very good experience. Following on from there, I started a postdoc at Cornell in 2008. 2008, if you recall, academic jobs were vanishing very quickly, and those people who had open positions were not filling them for fear of the coming budget cuts. So the postdoc timing was good. It was also an excellent fit. I looked at silicon nutrition and greenhouse crops and how that affected the post-harvest keeping quality of those plants. And very good outcome from that. Worked with Neil Mattson in that project. Also looked at general nutrition and how the plants or bedding plants perform in the landscape after they've had high quality nutrition or poor quality nutrition in the greenhouse. And also looked at, again, at ethylene effects, low concentration ethylene effects in the greenhouse. So why did I go to industry? Well, by 2010, there were no academic jobs. In fact, I was talking with people over the past couple days trying to remember what that time was like. I think there was a period of about 14 months there, not a single position posted in floriculture, anything near what I would qualify for. So it looked quite bleak. But, and this has been a theme that's come up over and over again, I had contacts through Cornell, NC State, coming to this meeting and other meetings about a job at Scotts. We used to be a portion of Scotts before they sold our part of the company. And yeah, it's blocking there. So a fellow by the name of Fred Hume, who was going to be here to do this talk, let Neil Mattson know, hey, there's a job open. I applied for that job. And lo and behold, they really were very interested quickly for two reasons. I had a finance background and had worked in it. And the German which I took on a lark. I majored in that and a lark, but it actually worked because the headquarters are in Heerlen, Netherlands. And so German was quite useful because that's right against the border there. So it was a really interesting combination of 2-3 degrees. I thought that I was chalking up, letting them go, but they've turned out to be incredibly useful. So I focused my talk a little bit different. I thought you might be interested in knowing how do these industry jobs differ from academia and how are they similar. One way they're different is at least at Everest, we're a fairly small organization. I think in the United States, total employees is around 90. On site, we have about 25. I'm the biologist. So what that means is I get contact with a lot of crops. I work with herbicides. I also work with fertilizers. And I have to work with a lot of different people. I work with weed scientists, greenhouse folks, all sorts of different directions there. I also, like others, have to wear a lot of hats. When I have a project or the business is developing a project, the focus is on how does this drive the business? How does this particular idea we're going to come up with, let's say I want to put silicon into water solubles. Well, the first question will be, how many bags will we sell? You got to have a market study. You've got to work with your team entirely to put together a grant application, so to say. And in these business settings, depending on the size of the company now and your particular job, you may not be working with folks who know anything about horticulture. At Scotts, it was quite surprising when you'd meet some marketing people and they had just been hired in from Johnson & Johnson. And they don't garden, they don't cut grass, they don't know anything, but they're going to sell these products and develop a marketing plan. So you've got to be able to communicate from peers who are experts, who have PhDs like you, all the way to someone who really couldn't tell you which end of the bulb goes into the ground. Travel can be more frequent. Some folks work from home. Some folks travel twice a month. I do not work from home. I work from the office. And I don't travel a whole lot, usually half a dozen times a year. Publications, you'll still be writing and you'll still be doing that sort of work. Often what happens is management team will have a question about should we get out of neonicotinoids? Should we stop selling these products? Write us a paper on that. Figure this out. And you've got 2 days to put together a position, do lit review, and get it out to the team that's asking questions. And it's the same with research reports. They're internal. You have an internal audience. Or for regulatory, you're writing for any future folks who may be interested in why you generated a particular set of data. The pace is extremely rapid. I know one of the other speakers referred to this, that sometimes the idea comes along and say, well, okay, we're going to do this project. Here's $50,000. Start the trial today, tomorrow, next week. So it can be extremely quick. And that's, again, where my network helps me a great deal because I know I can make some phone calls to contractors or some of my university collaborators and get something moving quite quickly. How's this work the same? When I first started, I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able to do good science anymore. I'm going to have to do, stuff that I'm not particularly comfortable with. But as I've gone on with this work in this particular position, I've realized it's at the core, the trials are the same. The studies are the same as I would do for at a university. The thing is the end product is going to be different. I will write not a publication for a journal, but I'll write a research report for a management team, or maybe it's something that marketing is going to use to expand a label or get into a new crop. But the skills to generate that data are essentially the same as you would use in a university or academic setting. Still, you have to advocate for an idea. You have to have passion about something. If you are lead on a project, you've got to be able to really tell folks why this matters. And you will get challenged because resources are limited in business too. One might think, oh, in academia, we don't have a lot of money to run research, but it's the same in business. You can't just take, you know, $12,000, spend it on a trial that doesn't benefit the business. There's got to be some return. Clearly articulating and communicating ideas. I think this is going to be true all over, especially with the mixed audiences you'll often run into in business. I touched on this before. It'll be a business case, but it's so similar to a grant application, it may not be as formal, but you'll have budgets, you'll have justifications, you'll have future returns on the investment to deal with. And administration. I'm a biologist who rarely sees biology. I'm at the desk, unfortunately, about three quarters of the time. But some interesting things come along with that. In a small company like ours, one of the first jobs we had after the sale was to the head chemist and I, we had to design a lab. So we were the only two people that had that sort of skills at that point, so they gave us a budget and we contacted vendors, contacted architects. We had to do all that work. We were given the space and said, make it all fit in here. What sort of growth chambers do we need? What kind of fume hoods? What sort of chemicals will we handle? Developing safety plans. So we got all that exposure. Very good career building, but again, some of that administration is it's the same wherever you are. So what is the job like? Change is constant. I think some other folks have mentioned that too. You can have yearly or quarterly change in focus for the business. This month it's going to be bi-irrational. 6 months from now you may be more interested in a new coating technology is ready for testing, and we've got to run with that. Still the same science as from academia, but it's usually coming from that business angle. Hands-on, sometimes. I do keep my hands in. There are a few locations very near to Dublin where we're headquartered in the U.S. that I can set up trials on my own. But more often than not, I'm using contractors or university cooperators. So advice. This is the awkward part. I didn't feel like I was qualified to give you guys advice, but I will tell you what has worked for me. Make the connections. I've heard it many times. Work the network early and often, and you never know where these connections will happen. I have some folks that when I was back at NC State recently this summer, I was talking to my master's professor, and he gave me a couple ideas for a project just sort of accidentally. We were chit-chatting, and along comes a new idea. Take business classes if you really think you want to get into industry. Take some business classes. It's going to be important to understand at least the principles of what is a return on investment, how to structure a budget worksheet, that sort of thing. Reading the paper in trade journals has helped me a lot. When something comes up in a meeting, you can mention, oh yes, I saw this in the New York Times, or I saw this in the Columbus Dispatch, or you get very good ideas of what the competition is doing from trade journals or what challenges growers may face. Get to know the customer. Customer for you may be your major professor. It may be a colleague in Pi Alpha Xi that you're working with to put on a plant sale. But always think in terms of a customer focus, whether it's a grower you're trying to sell fertilizer to or a granting organization that's expecting a report. Ask them what they need and ask them what's going to help them be successful so that you can be successful yourself. I've found that most of the job that I do now isn't quite focused on post-harvest physiology or stress physiology. I still find those topics useful from time to time in solving problems within the business, but what you're working on in your projects and your grad program, more likely than not, 10 years from now, you won't be working in that area. You'll be working in a different area of floriculture or a different area of vegetable production or weed science. Passion. Keep yours at the center of what you're doing. That's what I've always been trying to do. When I was doing the finance work, that wasn't my passion. It was clearly horticulture and it was clearly plant science. And as long as that's really at the core of what I'm doing with Everest or wherever I'm working, I'm going to be quite happy in the job for the most part. So that's all I have for you. If you've got any questions, I'd be glad to take them.
one comment.
Sure.
My company is based in France, so French speaking is advantageous.
Very much.
In California, Spanish is good to have.
Yes. I would say Spanish and French are the two. Those are two countries we have a lot of contact with as well, and there are also two cultures that, strangely enough, there are not a lot of English speakers there. Among the Dutch, quite a few. We work with the Israelis quite a bit, so there are our parent companies in Israel. So, but yeah, learn a language. It's very helpful. Thanks.